Welcome to the Mum Boss Podcast, hosted by me, Renee O'Neill. I'm your host, life and business coach for mums, and a mum of two myself. I'm here to help you be the present mum you're wanting to be, whilst also having a successful business, because you can have both. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You have come to the right place if you're a mum who dreams of time and financial freedom and wants to be fulfilled in life alongside motherhood. This podcast is a place where you can come to be inspired and empowered whilst also getting tangible tips, advice, and strategies to help you in your life and business. So let's dive in. Today on the Mum Boss Podcast, I have a guest here with me, which I am very excited about because this guest isn't just an expert in what it is that she does. She's also a friend of mine and has been a client in one of the offers that I have. So I'm very excited to be here. So Ellie is a, oh my gosh, so many things to describe Ellie. She is known as Island Village on socials. She is a wife, she is a mum, she is a co-author, she is a women's circle facilitator, she's a nurse. I mean, there are so many titles to put with this woman, but I will let Ellie introduce herself and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Renee. So yeah, I'm Ellie. Thank you for having me. It's actually funny that you give me such a flattering introduction. Thank you. But someone actually asked me at an event that I was at the other day, and they said, "Oh, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a women's circle facilitator." And she said, "Oh, do you do anything else?" I said, "Oh, no." And then I was like, "Oh, hang on. Hang on, I actually do." So I'm a mum, and I've got a mum of two little kids. So I've got a 2 and a 4-year-old who are just dreams. And I'm a farm girl. So I've grown up on a farm, and I now live and help run my husband's, well, it's half ours, half my husband's family. So we've got a cropping farm on the northwest coast, and yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we have these titles and yet we're so much more than the title as well. Like even just, you know, being asked what you do and then sharing, you know, "Oh, I'm a women's circle facilitator." And it's like, "Do you do anything else?" It's like, we're so multifaceted and there's so many things that sometimes it's actually really hard to answer that question of like, who are you? What do you do? Because there's just so many layers to us, so many things that make us who we are. And it's just always interesting. I don't know if you find that when you do run your circles, like when you ask, like, "Introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about who you are," it's just sometimes not an easy question to answer because there's just so much to dive into.
Yeah, and I think we so easily revert to what you do, as in, you know, my career job, my paid job. That's, you know, it's a very different question who you are as to what you do, because yeah, we just say, "Oh, you know, I'm a nurse," or "I'm, you know, a farmer's wife," or whatever it happens to be. But even something like, you know, being a farmer's wife, you're never just a farmer's wife. Like there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, they don't just go off to work and do their thing while you know, twiddle your thumbs. There's so much more to it. So yeah, we just don't give ourselves enough credit, I think. And we just so easily just say, "Oh, you know, I'm just this one thing," but yeah, it goes much, much deeper than that.
And sometimes I think we can really wrap up our identity with our titles as well. Like I know for me, when I left my government job working at the hospital, I had been known as that for, you know, almost 12 years, and to walk away from it, it's like, oh, I'm shedding like a whole piece of identity of who I am, because I'd wrapped up a lot of who I was in the title and the job that I had. And it's funny because you often lead with what you do career-wise, don't you? It's like if you are a business owner or you've got a career, that's often the first thing you say, or you say, "Oh, I'm a mum." Like there's these go-to things that we do, but there's just so much more to us. And I'm sure that when you do circles, that's something you dive into, like the deeper layers of ourselves.
Yeah, it really is. And so for me, one of the things that I ask myself that question often, you know, like, who am I? And if I were to introduce myself as something other than, you know, a mom or other than my career, you know, how would I introduce myself? And the thing that I keep coming back to is that I'm someone who likes to do difficult things, like to challenge myself and to push myself and, you know, to do harder things, like, you know, have difficult conversations and, you know, and if I'm offered an opportunity, then I, you know, I just take it and deal with the, you know, the difficulty of it later, because I mean, it's easy to say yes, but yeah, but really just embracing those things and stepping out of my comfort zone to really push myself and to make myself grow, because I mean, for me, that's what I want to be as a person, but it's also what I want to show people, because, you know, I'm in very much a self-development space, I suppose. So I want that for myself, but I also want that for the other women, you know, who I support. And, you know, courage is something that I really try and foster, and it's something that I really value. So, yeah, so to, you know, I need to live it, but I also really want to live it as well. So, yeah, I think that's who I am.
Yeah, and I love that by you being really authentically true to yourself and what you value, that also inspires others as well. And, you know, living by example, especially when you are a mentor to others in the realm that you are, it's like, you know, they really get to witness you do that and you, you know, show up as your authentic true self, which isn't always easy, is it?
No, it's not. It's really difficult, but also people see it so much more than you think that you, you know, even if you try and look for it, it's really tricky to see, because I think, you know, you're so in it. It's so a part of you that, yeah, it's just very difficult to see yourself the way that other people see you sometimes. So, yeah, so I think the best way to, you know, to teach other people and to learn yourself, yeah, is to live it and to, you know, to really trust yourself through that as well, because it can be, it can just be so tricky to navigate and to, you know, to keep yourself accountable as well. Like, it's, I think you also need to, you know, be really as in touch as you can with, you know, with your flow and your, you know, the ups and downs of life, because, you know, because you're not always going to be on and you're not always going to be so in tune with everything that you need to be all the time. So,
I mean, yeah. We were talking about that before we hit record, of like life and the things that it throws us sometimes, and how we're able to navigate that when we still need to show up as mums, you know, we still need to show up for our families and also our businesses. And sometimes that can be quite a tricky juggle at times, you know, when life's throwing us things. So I'd love to know how you navigate that when you do have quite a few titles, which means you have quite a full life, how you're yep. able to navigate the challenges that life throws, business throws, all those sorts of things.
So we haven't discussed this outside of this either, but I've had a few ongoing health issues as well for the past nearly 6 months, but then sort of extended from, you know, from that for like the last 2 years. So I think becoming pregnant with my second baby, just, I don't know, my body's just not the same as all of ours are. But yeah, but I've had a few ongoing health issues since then. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've struggled with, you know, when it's so personal and so, so much out of your control as well, that, yeah, that you're just trying to navigate around those things and still show up and still still do all of your day-to-day jobs. But one of the biggest things that I've struggled with is fatigue, and you know, and my, you know, just chronic tiredness. And I actually had the kids home yesterday and I needed to have a sleep after lunch, and I put my two-year-old to bed, and my four-year-old just, you know, she just sat on the bed next to me and read while I had a little nap. But but I think one of the biggest tricks, I suppose, that I do is that I just have to really listen to my body, and I have to really, you know, if I need a nap, I need to just have a nap, because I'll struggle so much for the rest of the day if I don't. And, you know, and then I'll get annoyed at myself because I haven't, you know, because I was like, you know, you only needed a 15-minute nap. Like, that's, that would have got you through till the end of the day. And if I haven't done that, then, you know, then I'm like, oh, you know, I should have listened to my body, and I should have, you know, and then I'm cranky by the end of the night. So, along with the kids. But, yeah, I think just trusting myself and trusting my body, and just having, I mean, it's so easy to say, you know, have a bit of self-compassion, because, you know, it's just easy to say these things. But that's probably the biggest thing that I've, yeah, that I've sort of learned to do, is to, yeah, just have a bit of self-compassion, and to, you know, if I need to go and have a cuppa with a friend, then I go and have a cuppa with a friend. And even if I've only got limited time, I just say, you know, I've got limited time, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I need to, you know, I need to nurture my friendships, but I also need to be nurtured myself. So, and there's, you know, it's just one of those things that my kids can't do for me. And, you know, and I think this conversation has probably been had so many places and so many times here, even before, that, you know, that your husband can't be everything for you either. You know, and my husband's a farmer, you know, a full-time farmer. So it's, you know, we're on very limited and sporadic almost time together. So we're, you know, he's never reliably home at a certain time every day or anything like that, you know, and we don't always have weekends or even, you know, even one day over the weekend together. So, yeah, so I really need to, you know, to find those places where I can nurture myself as well through those harder times.
Yeah, and it's so important, isn't it? Because being able to give yourself those moments, whether it's a nap because your physical body's saying I need to rest, or whether it's I need some connection time, I need that coffee with a friend, being able to allow yourself that time and space to give yourself whatever it is you need is so important. Because if we're able to replenish our energy and fill our own cup, it means we can show up as the best version of ourselves for our family, for our kids, our husbands, our partners, our jobs, our businesses, all the things that we have going on in life. And, you know, the more you don't tune in and listen to those things and you ignore and you keep pushing and soldiering on because I've got this to-do list, I've got all these things I need to do, it leads you down that path of burnout. And that can be a very, very hard place to come back from on a physical health level. And so it is really important to be able to give yourself that time and space. And, I'm, you know, being able to tune into what you need in those moments, and especially like your physical body. I think we don't often give ourselves that space to go, hang on a minute, what do I need right now? And, you know, being able to honor that and find whatever it is that works for you in those moments, you know, even if it's a 15 minute nap or 5 minutes to just stop and take some deep breaths, whatever it is that you need, it's so important. And one thing that I've shared, and I'm sure, you know, people have heard it before, but not just refilling our own cup so we can then pour it back out to everyone else, have our cup overflowing. And so the overflow can go to everyone else, but we've still got something left in the tank for us at the end of the day, which is just so important. But I know it's not always easy. I know it's not always easy to do that, but it's incredible what 5 or 10 minutes can do sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And And one of the reasons, or it's actually probably the main reason that I got into doing my women's circle to start with. Like, it didn't start as a women's circle. It started as me with a very young baby, for my first baby, and me being very isolated. You know, we're rural, we're, you know, on a farm, we're, you know, on my own, really, and needing some support and some, you know, some love from some other women. And, you know, so when my husband would come home and the baby was in bed, I'd be like, see ya, I've got to get some time with some girlfriends. So that's all I was doing to start with. Like, I went to a girlfriend's house, and then we started going to our local hall so that we, you know, so that we could all have that space. And so we'd just go up there and light the fire and have a cuppa and just do nothing, just be with each other for a couple of hours. And then, and so that's sort of, and then we sort of started having some conversations, and I was like, oh, maybe I can, you know, create something a little bit more structured and a little bit, something with a little bit more depth as well. So that's sort of, yeah, how my women's circle came about by, but very much just came out of me needing some space and needing some time away from the kids and just to be myself for a little bit.
I love that your business was birthed from that, though, like from that just state of needing that connection, recognizing that not everyone has that community aspect around them. You know, like you shared, being on your own on the farm with a little one, you know, not having people around you. Like, it's always interesting because we hear, like, when you become a mum, you know, the saying of it takes a village. And yet in the Western world that we live in, often mums are left to their own devices with their babies. And yeah, we might get the odd text or the odd, you know, someone popping in, but it is not like it used to be many years ago. And our village is not around us, supporting us in the way that it probably once was. And so that community connection for mums in particular is so important. And so what did you find was, I guess, the biggest thing that the women who attended your circles got out of it, other than the community aspect, which I know would have been huge?
Yeah. And just to touch on the village thing as well, like, you know, when you have someone drop in, they always leave. They don't, you know, they're not there through the night to get up to your baby and let you sleep through the night because, you know, you're making milk and your body's healing and all of these other things. You know, you've got to be the one that pushes through all of that. Like, sure, it's nice to have someone come and have a cuppa. It's very nice, in fact, but they go home. And yeah, and then you're just left with all the normal stuff that you have to get on with. So yeah, and that's actually where my island village name came from as well. So they're not so much, I mean, I don't have a full village of mums. In fact, I think at the moment I'm actually the only mum in there. So which is kind of funny, but it still is my village and it still is, you know, the women around me that I need. So so what they have gotten out of it, the biggest thing I think, or the thing that I've had the most feedback on, or that probably I've even seen myself, is that I've had women come to me and be like, oh, you know, I'd love to do something like this. I'd love to, you know, be around other people, and I love the idea of coming to a women's circle, but I'm so scared of meeting other people, and I'm so scared of just, you know, sort of having to let my guard down a little bit and you know, and have these deeper conversations. And, you know, and I'm not a people person and I'm quite shy and, you know, those sorts of comments. And they've come along and, you know, maybe the first time or second time they're a bit more guarded, I suppose. But after that, and you start to get to know people, they do let their guard down and they start to talk and they start to ask questions and they make friendships and they, you know, they create these new friendships with people who they never would have met otherwise, and keep coming back, and they just love it. But and also maybe the other big thing I think is, especially lately, we've been doing lots of, so we do lots of journaling through the circles, and as a part of it, we have a WhatsApp group where I send journal prompts and, you know, affirmations and stuff like that through the WhatsApp group. And they've come to me after and been like, you know, the journal prompts have been amazing, like, for the time that we're not actually together. So I actually have a group session, like a 3-month group. It's not a program, but it's a 3-month group for the women's circle. So in that 3 months, it's the same people the whole way through. So we get to really, you know, really get to know each other and really get to, to build these deeper friendships and build more trust with each other as well. Like, instead of just having people coming and going all the time and not really getting to know anybody. So yeah, I think the fact that I've seen these, you know, people who have said they're quite shy and, you know, don't want to be around, you know, new people all the time, to see them sort of flourish and then to also follow through with the activities that I'm, you know, doing, like the journaling. It's making a pretty big impact. And I didn't really realize either until not that long ago, really, till I sort of had some feedback and I was like, oh, wow, I'm doing something right.
It's incredible when you create something and people get to experience it, and then you get to watch them grow and evolve, and you get to witness it and almost be a part of it. It is such an incredible thing to have, and something to be so honored to be a part of as well. And, you know, I'm sure that that really fulfills you too in what it is that you do, and, you know, has such a greater impact on you as well.
It really is very special. And these things evolve too. Like, you know, it's not, at the moment, it's not how I imagined it would be. And it was, I mean, it's different to how it actually started anyway, obviously. But yeah, it's sort of, yeah, it's become something much more nurturing and much softer than I first thought, and I adore it. It's just, it's so wonderful to see these women, you know, and say, oh, you know, so we've almost finished this 3-month group, and the girl's saying, oh yeah, when's the registration open for the next one? And you're like, oh, okay. It's a very special thing to be a part of.
And I think, you know, this is where sometimes businesses are birthed from a need, which yours was. It was birthed from a need that you personally felt and had. And then they naturally evolve and grow and change as you really start following your desires and your passions and the things that light you up and the projects you have. And I know that, you know, creativity is a realm that you love to talk about and share. Like, I know you have on your socials, and I know that you've created an event coming up for that as well. Although when this episode airs, it's probably already been and gone and has been a huge success. But I'd love for you to talk about the idea of creativity, because I often used to associate myself as someone who wasn't creative. And it's interesting now my perception on that, because I actually think I'm quite a creative person. And so I'd love for you to talk about that, because I think sometimes people have the illusion of creativity means you're somebody who's very artsy, you paint, you know, you do something creative, but that doesn't always, it's not always the case, is it?
No, not at all. And I mean, you know, you've got a business of your own. So you're, you know, you have created that, and the different aspects of that are all part of your creative self, right? So what one of the things that I will teach at this workshop coming up is about how to find and live your purpose. So the three things that sort of come together to find that purpose is curiosity, connection, and creativity. So the three of those things combine, once you're actively engaged in each of those things, that's where you can really find your purpose. So curiosity, I mean, you know, asking why and really getting curious about things, you know, life and, you know, why you're doing the things that you're doing and that sort of stuff. Connection, obviously, is, you know, is a huge thing. And I mean, you know, it's something that I just keep coming back to. It's something that I'm always talking about. But not just connection with other people, but connection with yourself as well. And it's just so important to have some, you know, some form of connecting with yourself, some way of doing that. And mostly that's through creativity. It, you know, it's fun to do creative things with friends and, you know, and with other people around you, but you need to have something for yourself. So, I mean, and creativity can look so different. It's, you know, like you said, it can be really artsy and, you know, with things like painting and pottery and, you know, the very typical artsy things, but also, you know, reading and writing and, but I mean, not writing like writing a novel, just writing anything. I mean, my journaling looks very different to what I ever thought journaling would, you know, would look like. Like I've got lots of, you know, little notes, like a paragraph long note on something and then a paragraph long note on something else. Like that's more what my journaling looks like. But also one of the things that, you know, as a mum, one of the ways that I've learned to really use my creativity is with my kids and through my kids. And it's just, it's almost more powerful, I think, because you're kind of led through them and led by them. But, you know, lots of things that I do with my kids, which I use often as a, you know, like when you get to 5 p.m. and everyone's going crazy, like I use it as a bit of a circuit breaker. So, you know, we have a bit of a dance break, or, you know, I'll literally be halfway through preparing dinner and everything's crazy and we'll just crank some tunes and have a dance break, you know, for 5 minutes, 10 minutes and, you know, get a bit of flow, get a bit of, you know, movement, move some really, you know, tired, icky energy from the end of the day. And it's like magic. It's amazing what happens to both them and me. Like, you know, I'll be on the verge of, you know, just trying to throw them out the door and say, you know, get out of my hair. And yeah, and just say, just let me get this done so that you can have your dinner. Like I can see that that's the problem, but yeah, and to a space that's really quite fun and quite relaxed and they're quite happy, and then all of a sudden they're not really hungry, you know, they're just tired from the, you know, from the end of the day. But it completely shifts what we're doing. So we do things like that, and, you know, we might have a play, you know, if it's rainy outside we'll do some sort of indoor play, but often we just go out and go on the swing or the trampoline at that really, you know, that crucial time of the evening to, you know, to make that circuit breaker actually do its job. But yeah, but often things like creativity might be going and, you know, lying on your back and looking at the clouds, or, you know, seeing what, you know, we just wander the garden sometimes. And I mean, my garden's not huge, but it's big enough to be able to just go and see what plants we can find and what flowers we can find and just pick some flowers and do stuff like that. But creativity can look so different for so many people. And any of that stuff really is creative. And the whole purpose of your creativity is to get into some sort of flow, like to get out of your, you know, your heady, mundane task related stuff into another part of your life. So that's the whole idea and the whole purpose of creativity. But I mean, when you look at it like that, you can see why it's so needed and why it's, you know, essential to have that as part of your life, rather than, you know, getting caught in the day-to-day stuff and, you know, hitting your 5 p.m. mark every night and then, you know, going through the same routine and the same frustrations and the same tone of voice that comes out and all of that stuff. So yeah, once you sort of embrace that creativity and really try and actually use it in your life, it can be, yeah, it can be really life-changing.
I love that you shared about tapping into your creativity with your children. And I think, you know, we can look to our kids and there's so much we can learn from them as well. You know, I know for me that being able to do the things that the kids love and enjoy that makes them happy actually makes me really happy too. And one of those things you shared as well is going outside and jumping on the trampoline. Like, I will jump on the trampoline with my kids and my inner child is doing the biggest happy dance when I do those things. And it's funny because we often get stuck in a trap of just go, 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 hustle. You know, we're working our jobs, we're running from one thing to the next, that we often don't take enough time just to add some joy into our life. And like you said, you know, some creativity into our life. And it's finding those little moments that we can, you know, spark some creativity and, you know, create some joy for ourselves. And I think often when I think of creativity and ways in which we can do that, I often think of my inner child. Like, what were the things that I really loved to do when I was a kid and doing them? And it's funny you shared about laying on the grass and like looking up at the clouds. Like, and you know how we used to, when you're kids, you'd lay down and you'd like make out different shapes in the cloud. Like, if you go and do something like that, that you still love and enjoy as a child, as the adult self you are today, it will make your inner self so happy and so fulfilled. And, you know, luckily as moms, we also get to enjoy those things with our children, which makes such a difference as well. But yeah, creativity is an interesting topic because it's often just not what people think it is.
No, it's not at all. And it's actually, you know, one of the questions that I've had the most is like, why creativity? But once you sort of break it down into those smaller parts and then pull them all together and go, you know, well, this is why we're doing this. You know, this is how we're finding our purpose. And this is, you know, this is how we're connecting through these things. It just makes so much sense. And yeah, and like you say, you know, with the looking for shapes in the clouds, like once you let your imagination roam, like you look at, watch your children and how they, you know, how they play and how they, you know, how they go outside and wander, like it's all in their imagination. They're doing it all on their own. And like you said, they're so happy doing it because they're just in an amazing little world of their own. It's like when you get stuck in a really good book and, you know, you're in that world, that's where they are, but they're using their own brains to do it. And it's just amazing. And we just lose that. I don't think we lose the ability, but we forget that we've got that ability to do it. And we really need to train ourselves to do that, to start doing that again. And yeah, I think it's pretty sad when we forget it, and that we just, and if you can't get back to that, then I don't know, it makes for a pretty rigid life, I think.
And I think it's just, we're conditioned that way, you know, as we go about life, we're just so busy. We're always doing, we're always going. And I think we need to normalize slowing down. you know, doing things that we love and enjoy and not having to be in this go, go, go mentality all of the time. So I guess for the listener who's listening and they're like, oh my gosh, I haven't tapped into creativity in a long time. Where's a really good starting point and how can we bring back some creativity into our everyday life in those small pockets of time we might have?
Yeah, I think so it's actually a really interesting question because, I mean, at some point not so long ago, that's where I was at as well. And, you know, and I wasn't really doing these things and taking the time to make sure that I'm actually doing them. But I think getting curious about what you might enjoy or and just trying things. I mean, the whole dancing thing for me and my kids, I only sort of discovered because they were listening to music. And I was like, okay, I'll have a dance with you. And then I was like, actually, let's change the music to something that I like. You know, that I don't really want to dance to the Wiggles again. So, you know, so let's put Queen or something on and actually, you know, and you can actually have a good dance. But I think, yeah, getting curious about what other things you might like and appreciating or just accepting that other things might be creativity. But reading for me has been a big thing that, you know, I never used to be a big reader at all. And, you know, and I'm really taking time to do that. So I think if you can figure out what is actually something that's going to slow you down, I think that's the sort of direction that you need to go. So it doesn't have to be something, you know, typically artsy, but, yeah, I think really sort of tapping into something that slows you down. And I think the best ways to do that is to actually take some time out. So, you know, when you get in the shower and you have all these amazing ideas because you're not distracted by anything else, you know, you can't be looking on your phone, you can't be watching TV. And if you allow yourself the actual time to do that, you'll be amazed at what you come up with, you know, in your own ideas as to what you might want to do. So, I mean, you can't stay in the shower I'm sure you could, but, you know, maybe go for a longer walk or something, you know, without a podcast, without anything in your ears. And if you can find a time to, and a space to allow that in, I think you'll be amazed at what you come up with all on your own.
I think that is such a good tip because we often are so overwhelmed and distracted by so many different things that even just that quiet space isn't something that a lot of us do naturally. And I think it's always interesting coming back to the shower because that is when so many people say, I got my business idea in the shower. I thought of my new offer in the shower. Like all these incredible ideas come to you because your mind finally has the time and space to talk to you and you'll listen. Like you'll listen to your inner self talk to you because you're not distracted by everything else going on around you. So I think that is such a good note to end on, to create some time and space for yourself, create some time just to be, to listen to your inner self, to spark some creativity in your life and find those little happy, joyous moments that make you feel good, that bring you joy, that refill your cup, you know, they are the things. So for the listener that's listening along that would love to come and connect with you, find out a little bit more about the circles that you facilitate, where can our listeners best find and connect with you?
The best place to find me is on Instagram. It's where I'm most present. So it's at islandvillage_ at the end. And it's where you're most likely going to get a reply from me. I have a Facebook group, but that sort of is more part of actually like a part of the women's circle group once you're on that side. So that's the best place to find me.
Lovely. Well, I will pop the links in the show notes so you can easily go and head on over to Instagram. Let Ellie and I know that you've tuned in. If you've loved this episode, share it over on your socials, tag us. We would love to hear from you and share with us what your biggest takeaway is, because it's always really nice to connect with those that tune into the podcast. But thank you so much for being here. I've loved chatting with you and having a cuppa with you while we've been chatting away. But I will talk to you very soon.
Thank you for having me, Renee.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. To learn more, you can go to reneeoneal.com. I'm so grateful for you being here and super glad you've taken the time out for yourself to tune into today's episode. If you loved the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe so you can catch the next one when it's released. Also, if you share this podcast to your Instagram stories and tag me at renee.oneal, I will be sure to send you a little gift straight to your DMs as a thank you.